Hey there, Fort Alliance, extended digital family. Once again, so good to be with you. And on this day that we call Father's Day as well, Pastor Dan has already spoken a bit into that and prayed for you as well. That said, I want to acknowledge this, though. I know that for far too many of you, you're earthly father has hurt, wounded, even damaged perhaps your ability to come to know the Heavenly Father, whom Scripture calls our Abba Father, which we'll point out later this day as well. This means that God longs to be your papa. And where there has been those hurts, those wounds, that damage, he desperately wants to bring repair and ensure that you come to know real love, real care, real provision, real protection. He wants this for you so bad. And I know week after week I talk about us being created to walk with God, and that it's our sin that has led us astray and we've walked away from him. And that is oh so true. But oftentimes it's that hurt, that wound, that feeling as though we've been destroyed at the core because of those human relationships that also seem to just cloud our ability to come to know God. But God does not want that gap in relationship with you. He wants desperately to come to know you. He desperately wants you to know him. And he provided a means for that via Jesus. And Jesus gave himself that you could find new levels of healing and freedom and wholeness, as well as forgiveness. And so this morning, as I start and tell a story about parenting, I want you to know if you've been hurt or wounded, this is not the heart of God. And that he, Papa, our holy Papa, really does love you. And if this is hard for you to wrap your mind around, know that Jesus displayed that perfect love by giving his life on the cross. And when we turn from our sinful ways and we release that hurt and that wound to him, he can bring healing and forgiveness. And we just start by coming to him and just telling him of our brokenness, telling him we're sorry. We let him know that we're looking for forgiveness. We're looking for wholeness. And that we invite him to come and lead our life and to direct our life. We give it back to him and something happens, and it happens instantly and it happens over time where we grow in that. And so we just want you to know oh so badly this morning that if you hear nothing else, that there is the Holy Papa in heaven who loves you. So we hope you've heard that this Father's Day. So that's the ugly side of earthly fathers. There's the flip side. And I've been blessed to have an incredible earthly father. But let me tell you, my brother, him and I, we did not make being a father easy. Parenting is hard. Hard work. I didn't realize. I feel like day by day, I'm refereeing WWE matches at times. Oh, I don't know why parents say, I hope you have a kid just like you. But they do that, don't they? And then it happens. Oh. Let me tell you, though, my brother and I remember, I'm sure we fought before this, but this is the first fight I recall with my brother. We were getting off the bus. I think he was kindergarten. I was grade one. We were walking down the lane towards home. And fighting about, I don't remember what, who knows what, that's just what brothers do is they get off the bus. And I turned around to like say something back, and all I see, and I picture it to this day, this bright orange G.I. Joe lunchbox, the hard plastic kinds you had in the 80s, right? Just, and just, first black eye, my little brother, G.I. Joe lunchbox, right there. Now, we did not make parenting easy. But that said, you know, I think it's, I don't think, it's totally possible for God to like redeem those things where after you've had the battles with your siblings, there's something that can flip where he can redeem that. Now all of a sudden, you want to battle spiritually for them and hopefully, Lord willing, even with them, if you will, right? Well, my brother and I, later on in life, we went down different paths, and it's not a story that he wouldn't say the same way as well. And he always knew that there was a God. And I know that he also knew that Jesus was God in the flesh, even as he went down his different path. I know he knew that. He totally understood that. But he nonetheless had drifted. There's all sorts of theological paradigms and things you can say and talk through. And I don't need to. I don't feel I need a box. Y'all know what I mean, right? He knew God, but he went a different path. I prayed for my brother many, many times. But there was one time in particular that I'll never forget. It was a few years ago now, and I was in Israel. And I was at the Western Wall, also sometimes referred to as the Wailing Wall. It's significant because it's like the original old wall of old Jerusalem. And it's the wall that faces or backs up to the where the temple of the Old Testament would be. It's right beside where the Holy of Holies would have been. And as a result, via you know Solomon's prayer and Chronicles, many feel like there's something special about that place, that it's a sacred place here on earth where prayers, miraculous prayers have been answered that have been prayed in that location. I don't know if that's the case for sure or not, but I know that there has been many, many prayers that have been answered via that location. At the same time, I acknowledge there's been many people that have prayed there and haven't had answers. So is it a special holy place or not? I am not certain either way, but I know that day I encountered God there. And as I went there, I came in my heart to pray for my brother because he was somewhat at his loneliest, darkest place, if you will. And I wrote a letter to God and I brought it and I placed it in this wall. And I got there and I was praying. And as I was praying, I just wept for him. I had never wept like that before for my brother. The tears just flowed as I was praying and just interceding on his behalf, if you will. It was a warlike, fight-like prayer, except it was the exact opposite of that lunchbox incident, right? It was now battling for my brother in the spiritual or the heavenly realms like we've talked about throughout this series. I share this story because months later, it was a miracle. Like, it got darker and it got lonelier for him, but it was miraculous. He completely turned some things around in his life. And within the year even, he came to me and he asked me to baptize him. Like, never did I think that was going to come as I was praying that day at the Wailing Wall in Israel. It was one of those praying in the Spirit moments that comes out in our text today. It was one of those answers to prayer where I know God showed up and moved and really did a work. And to this day now, I look back at that and I think, wow, it was one of the most miraculous prayers I feel like I've prayed that came about because none of us thought it was possible, you know, but God moved and worked and my brother turned and is walking with Jesus today. This is an example I share because I want to give testimony to what's possible based on the text here today. I know, like I said, there are times we pray and intercede, and I would bet there are many of you even watching now who have prayed for people in tears in the throne room and are still waiting for your answers. And I don't have the answers to why you are still waiting. That's between God and that person, not perhaps, it is between them. And God knows. And you just got to trust it. But I share a story of that answer prayer because I want us to see the significance and the power that a testimony can have of what it means to pray in the Spirit at all times. Because this is what God is calling us into as we wrap up this text. We've been in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Then we were for Christ, for Christ, for Christ. Today we come to the conclusion of Ephesians. And Paul reminds us and brings us to this place where now we're told to pray in the Spirit and to pray that we would be on mission. And I'll show you exactly what I mean. So let's go to the text. It's Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read 18 to 20 as a means to wrap up. We're going to break it down a little bit, and I'll tell a couple stories along the way. It says this, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Catch this thought. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Let's start with that first phrase, pray in the Spirit. I think we can overcomplicate this. We've talked about this week after week after week, and we just referenced it again last week. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, for Christ, for Christ, for Christ. We are in Christ, and we reviewed what it means to be in the spiritual realm. That not only is God there, not only is Jesus there, we are seated there too. We are brought into this heavenly place. And so if we're to pray in the Spirit, let's not just think of ourselves as here. Let's remember we are there. We can pray from there. We can pray right from the throne room of God because today we are in Christ and therefore we have full access to God, our Father, the Holy Papa, as I'll bring out in just a moment. We don't need to overcomplicate or confuse that. Pray in the Spirit. We are already there because of the ascension of Jesus, and he's invited us to be seated there, so let's pray from there. Paul, I think, gives us a little bit more of a description or some understanding that, for me at least, encourages me to pray in the Spirit. It comes from Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, in the middle of the chapter, around 15, 16, 17, he talks about how we are adopted into God's family. And we now call him Abba, Father. This is what I talked about earlier. Abba, Daddy, or Papa. God has revealed himself as the Daddy, the Papa, who wants us to come into his presence. And as his adopted kids, we are able to come right before him because of our faith in Jesus. And then what's fascinating to me is if you fast forward a little bit further down Romans chapter 8, I think it's around the mid-20s, 26, 27, 28, it's in there. It talks about how the Spirit is interceding for us. So here we are there in the throne room of God, and the Holy Spirit is too interceding for us. And so simply to pray in the Spirit, I think at times it means just coming and saying, all right, I join with him. I'm with Holy Spirit. I think of a couple examples. One I've shared before, one I don't think I have. I remember when Janelle gave birth the first time. It was very, very, very scary. And for 2 hours while the doctors tried to just deal with the internal bleeding stuff, I sat there and simply just said, Dear Jesus, help mommy. Dear Jesus, help mommy. Dear Jesus, help mommy. All I could pray for 2 hours was, Dear Jesus, help mommy. And all I was doing was trying to join with Holy Spirit and say, God, just whatever Holy Spirit is praying, I'm there. I'm joining with that. So all I got is, Dear Jesus, help mommy, because I don't know what else to say. Had another incident in the previous fellowship where I was serving, and some of it was expected, some of it was unexpected. We went into a season where our board of elders took some hard hits. Initially, it was started off being really exciting where a long-term guy moved into full-time missions and went to Africa. Super cool. We were so excited and glad that he was able to go and do that. And shortly thereafter, another long-time guy had entered into retirement and moved and traveled in the States with his family because that's where his kids and grandkids were. Again, super cool. So that was within a couple months. But then within months of that happening, we had a tragic accident where one of our elders who was in his 40s was killed in an accident by a drunk driver. And then within weeks after that, we had one of our dearest kind of older members, not unlike Pastor Dan, who just was a rock star in the foyer, right? Where people just loved to be with him because you always felt loved and cared for. And all of a sudden, he had this crazy slip and fall and hit his head and was in flown to the emergency room here in Edmonton. And I'm driving to Edmonton now, and I'm like, God, are you kidding me? God, are you kidding me? God, are you kidding me? I didn't know what to pray. Like, all of a sudden, four people within, like, a few months from our elders board were gone, and two of them via crazy, unexpected accidents. All I could do was join with the Spirit on that drive to the city. I didn't know what to pray. God, are you kidding me? Now, Holy Spirit, take that prayer that sounds like I'm being a jerk to God and turn that into something that means something, right? Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already there. Pray in the Spirit. We are here, but we are also there. We get the chance to pray from there. It goes on and says, at all times and on every occasion. I read a commentator that was brought out an interesting thought that I felt I would share with you. This sounds strikingly familiar to the prayer of Jesus at the end of Luke chapter 21. Well, what's really interesting is Luke chapter 21 is a chapter where Jesus is talking about like the last days or the future, the end of an era, right? And at the end of it, in chapter or 21 verse 36, Jesus prays or speaks this out where he says to be alert on all occasions and to pray in every situation. Strikingly similar to what Paul writes here. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. And here's what this reminds me of. We are in a battle. If you caught last week, you know we went through the armor of God. There was very clear spiritual warfare imagery and language used. And here, Paul maybe loses the armor imagery, but it's clear. There's a battle. And in this battle, we're called to pray. I love that he says, pray for all believers everywhere. This week, our elders had an elders meeting, and we prayed for the other churches in Fort Saskatchewan. That's what it's about. It's not that we're in competition or what have you. There are other Christ-centered fellowships and believers in our community in this area, and we pray for them. And here Paul is saying, pray in the Spirit for other believers. It's a reminder to us as we wrap up, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, now for Christ, for Christ, for Christ. And don't forget this, because here's the very last thing I'm going to share with you. Pray. In Christ, for Christ, but pray. In Christ, for Christ, keep praying. In Christ, for Christ, don't stop praying. And then he goes on, and I absolutely love what happens next. In this praying in the Spirit for other believers at all times, everywhere, he says, now pray for me. So here Paul is asking for prayer. Now, this really jumped off at me when I was getting ready, because notice what happens in the middle. He says, I'm in chains now, still preaching the message of the ambassador, as God's ambassador. But notice what he doesn't ask for prayer for. He doesn't say, hey, pray that my irritated wounds from these chains would be healed, although I bet you he prayed that, but he doesn't ask for it. He doesn't even say, pray that these chains would be released, although I bet you he did pray that. He doesn't even ask, pray that I would be set free so that I could be on mission once again. No, he says, in the midst of chains, pray that I would continue to be bold. This lands for me. Paul, in the midst of chains, brings prayer back to this reality that we are praying for the purpose of being reminded that we are still on mission no matter what happens, where we are, what we're facing. Pray for boldness. Here's what I am so convinced of that I think we get wrong in our soft Western culture. We think the gospel is supposed to keep us safe, at least from a Western mindset, but not from what Paul is saying here. He is saying the gospel is supposed to make us dangerous. Dangerous against the kingdom of darkness. Dangerous against the enemy who we are fighting against, not against the flesh and blood, which we just talked about, but against this unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. The gospel is to make us dangerous. And Paul here is asking for boldness, that he might go as one who is continuing to be bold on mission, proclaiming the gospel, the goodness of who Jesus is. And here's what this tells me. If, from at least my perspective and my opinion, the boldest believer perhaps in all of Christian history needed to ask for boldness. I do too. You do too. It's okay, because there's moments when I lack courage. Even Paul asked for prayers for boldness. So we can too. We can too. I've been really convicted about this thought process of praying in the Spirit and prayer. I've been tracking with a fellowship down south who's experiencing awakening within their church and revival in their community. And their pastor said something that deeply landed with me that I want to share with all of you, and I've shared in our smaller prayer gatherings, but I want to share with all of you online. He said the fire of God's revival is dependent on God. When God's Spirit moves, God's Spirit's moving. You don't stop them. But it's up to us to stack the wood via prayer. It's up to us to stack the wood via prayer. I've been convicted in this season, and I've shared this thought before. And I'll share it again because I believe it fits so well. If it's God's heart, God's desire for the fire of revival to hit our community, and it's our job to simply stack the wood, if every person in our fellowship prayed like me, would the wood be stacked high enough for the fire to take? That really convicted me as I started thinking through that lens. If everyone prayed like me, how would our church be doing? I've been thinking through that, convicted by that. I think it's fair to ask the same question of all of us, actually. If everyone in our fellowship prayed like you, how would our fellowship be doing? I think it's a fair question. Which for me, it brings me to why, like, I've structured some things the way I have as I continue to press in and strive to grow. I continue to have us with that 11 o'clock gathering of prayer. We do have our 9:15 classic gathering, which was great this last week, which I look forward to week after week. But I continue to press in that smaller gathering to pray because I want to stack wood. I was prepped and ready for fall, and I'm not going to throw it out because I'm going to use my prep and what I got ready for because I really feel that was there. But as I was really settling and just trying to process with Jesus, he really brought me back to this thought of, have we stacked the wood as a fellowship? And so I restructured fall as a congregation and for our small groups, which I'll eventually bring all them up to speed too. Because we need to stack some wood as a fellowship. We need to get back to that praying in the Spirit at all times and all occasions. And then, like Paul, being willing to pray in regards to mission that we would be bold. I'm also looking forward to pressing in and doing that in the season to come. I really believe that God is not going to waste a good crisis like COVID. He's going to redeem it. And it's going to knock the enemy back as God's people press in and pray and get on mission and become more bold in our day-to-day life. Speaking of being bold, I love kids. It's Father's Day. A kid's story, I think, is fitting. I was in my backyard with one of my boys. My dog had dug and sent rocks all over. I was so irritated, and so I brought one of my boys back with me. We're picking up all these rocks, getting the yard put back together. One of their buddies that they've made at the park just down the way saw us out there and decided to drive by and park his bike and stay outside the fence. And we've got one of those chain link fences in our backyard. And so he just was throwing the rocks from out there. And so he and my son started a conversation. I just stepped back for a while and listened. The friend goes, "Wouldn't it be great if we had superpowers to just like levitate rocks and move them all back where they were?" And then the friend goes, "Too bad there's no such thing as superpowers." And then just like naturally, my son goes, "Well, there might not be superpowers, but there's this like David and Goliath guy where a little guy beat a big guy. That would be pretty powerful." You could see the friend look at him like, "Never heard this. What are you talking about?" And so then my son says, "Well, I guess it's all because God is powerful. He's all powerful. God is all powerful. He could do that." Now, he's probably not, but he could do that. So there is superpowers. It's God, though, that's the superpower. So then the friend looks at him, and they're just having this conversation, just as two boys, you know. He's like, "Well, if I did have superpowers from someone, I could make a lot of money picking up people's rocks." So I decided to chime in. And I said, "What would you do if you had all that money?" The friend was actually a very noble young guy. He was like, "Well, someone told me there's some hard stuff happening in Ireland. Maybe I would help some people there." Not bad idea, I guess. To which my son goes, "I would give it to the church, because the church is supposed to help people." There's a textbook you don't need to read from a 10-year-old. Church is supposed to help people. I think we overcomplicate this sometimes. 10-year-old can get it. But there he was, just in his common conversation, talking about his God. I mean, he was teaching me some lessons that day as the dad picking up rocks. At our 11 a.m. Gathering of prayer, we've gotten to know each other better throughout the past year and been praying. And one of the things I've said many times that I so love about our fellowship is the heart of people to just serve and care for others, which has blessed me, and I've seen the fellowship here just be a blessing to so many others in their ability to love and serve. And I was admittedly this day with someone who would say to us that they're really a behind-the-scenes person, and that, man, they don't ever want to stand up here and talk to a camera, which I don't know if I really want to talk to a camera either, but here I am. But you get what I'm saying, like they really feel like they're behind the scenes, just help with the kind of the little things, nitty gritty, day by day, and man, that's super important. But he was telling us the story, how the weekend prior he was at a garage sale, and the guy at the running the garage sale happened to say to him that he was very ill and he didn't know if he'd make it the next year. And so to this person from our fellowship that was naturally behind the scenes, a little quieter in how they would speak out, in that moment, he just felt convicted and stepped up and said, "Hey, could I pray for you? Could I just come before God for you right here in the middle of your garage sale?" And the person said yes, and they went on to pray. So we're at our 11 o'clock prayer gathering. He just says, "Hey, can we just pray for this guy? I don't even remember his name, but can we pray for the guy?" And we continued to pray for him. But that day, like, my soul leapt. Like, I was so excited as I heard him asking for prayer for this complete stranger that he'd met who he'd asked to pray for. Because this is what I'm talking about when I say being bold. Boldness is not intended to come across as combative or arrogant or hurtful. Boldness is intended to come across as caring and loving and kind. This is exactly what he did. In fact, I know that I have shared this for certain, but I bring it up again because this for me is the number one tool in being bold today is asking permission in our culture. Hey, could I pray for you? Hey, could I tell you how Jesus has helped me? When you ask permission, someone can open or close the door for you right then and there. If they don't want to talk, they'll say no. But if they're ready, they'll say, yeah, would you pray? Or, yeah, could you tell me how Jesus has helped you? And when that happens, boom. You just trust Holy Spirit. Ask Him to give you the words. Pray in the Spirit at all times and all occasions. Pray for the believers. And like the Apostle Paul says, pray that I would be bold. Pray that mission would take place, that we might begin to see awakening in our fellowship, in the churches of this community, that we might see revival in Fort Saskatchewan and area. I'm so convinced that God wants to do this, but will we slow down and take time to stack the wood? Because God has told us again and again, you are in Christ, you are in Christ, you're in Christ, now you are for Christ, you are for Christ, you are for Christ, and you leverage all that by praying in the Spirit, by stacking wood. And so as I wrap up this whole lengthy series we go through, I leave you with this. I beg of you, don't even wait for fall. This summer, wherever you are as you travel, myself included, I beg you, will you pray in the Spirit for all believers? Will you pray for the churches of our community? Will you pray for our fellowship? Will you pray for this community? Will you pray that God might show up in a mighty and a massive way, that we experience many coming to know the love of Holy Papa? And if I may, I dare you. I dare you to pray for boldness. If the Apostle Paul needed to pray for that, I think we can all rest in the fact that it's okay to admit there are moments in my life where I lack courage. So God, make me bold. Will you bow with me as we pray? Close in prayer. Holy Papa, oh, thank you for your love that you have shown and perfectly displayed through Jesus. We love you too. And we surrender our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Today we pray for each fellowship in this community that knows you and loves you, Jesus. Would you bless them and grant them favor? Would you make your face shine upon them in such a way that they just experience immense blessing? We pray for our fellowship, God. We pray that you would awaken us, that we might recognize who we are in Christ, that we might live for Christ, and draw us to be a people who pray in the Spirit. Convict us that we might stack the wood, so that when you and your holy fire decides to fall, it's ready to take place. And I pray for myself that over the course of the summer, and as I prepare for fall, that you would make me bold. A boldness that is deeply caring, deeply kind, deeply loving. And I pray the same for each one who calls Fort Alliance home. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless, and we're excited for a summer of hope and joy over these next few weeks.